Well, the Lord is indeed a promise keeper. You can bank on it. Every promise that he has ever made, he has either already fulfilled or will fulfill. And we see it time and again in Scripture, time and time again, without fail. Now, I've read that there is more than 1,000 promises in Scripture. I don't know exactly how many. I haven't gone through to count them all, but obviously somebody has. They said there's over 1,000. That's amazing. But we're not going to go through 1,000 promises today. Although I was going to tease you about that and make you think that we were. But I have a few selected promises that I do want to go over this morning. So if you want to enlarge that, Dale. We'll get there. Okay, we'll start in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. How many of you have desires in your heart this morning? Everybody does. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? Delight yourself in the Lord. Does that mean take pleasure in the Lord? Does that mean just be happy in him or whatever? The actual meaning of that word refers to being pliable. You know, like in Scripture, you are the potter, we are the clay. He molds us and shapes us. That's what that means. Don't make yourself hard and unmoldable. Yield to him. Be soft in his hands, like he is the master potter. Have you ever seen on television or a video of a potter and a lump of clay and how that spins around and he just presses a little bit on it and it's shaped and molded and everything? It's wonderful, isn't it? But it must be moist and soft, that clay. If it dries out, it's useless. Becomes hard. It's useless. But that's what that means. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be pliable in his hands. Let him mold you and shape you. And whatever the desires of your heart are, he will give them to you. You might think, well, wow, I could ask for anything. Well, you could. But the thing is, if you are pliable in his hands, subject to his molding and shaping, the only desires that will be in your heart are going to be in accordance with his will, and he'll be very happy to work out his perfect will in your life. The desires in your heart won't be selfish. They'll be gracious. They'll be in accordance with his will. So there's one promise. Okay? Yield to him. Whatever's in your heart, he's going to give you. Very precious promise. Then we've got Isaiah 40:31. And you're familiar with this because I've talked about this a number of times. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord speaks of having patience. If you can wait on him, because his timing is perfect. It's not our time. It's his time. Timing is everything. I'm sure you've heard that said, even in the world. Timing is everything. But we need to wait on him till he works things out. Don't jump in and do something on your own. You will renew your strength. Well, this morning I didn't feel like getting out of bed. To be honest with you, I felt tired. Oh, man. It was a struggle. But he gave me the strength. He gave me the strength. I mean, I'm not getting any younger, let's face it. None of us are. You know, time marches on. But he gives strength. They can run, so you can run and not be weary and walk and not faint. I don't know so much about running right now. I don't do much of that. But I do walk. So I'm thankful. And that is a promise of him. But we need to wait on him. Isaiah 41:10, a little bit of the next chapter. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. You know how many times in the Bible where the Lord says, fear not? There's hundreds in there. Fear is not of him. Fear is not of him. He wants us to be able to trust him. And when we trust him, there is no fear. Because we know that he's going to come through for us. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to bless us. Fear not. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Fear is a natural human thing, and sometimes fear is good, you know. I'm not going to put my hand on a hot stove because I'm afraid I'm going to burn myself. I mean, that's a little different. But fear not. He's with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what Donna's going through, no matter Joan, anybody else, Kevin, fear not. I am with you. Even though we can't see him, he's with us. He says, I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Boy, wonderful promise that we have. Then we go to the Gospel of Mark. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Wow. That's an amazing promise. Yeah, I can pray for anything. See, as long as I believe that I receive them, I'll have it. Well, it's a little more involved than that. I can't work it up, you know, to believe that, let's say he's going to give me a brand new Rolls Royce or something. Okay? It doesn't work that way. That kind of believing, okay, is in response to what God has shown you, to what you know about God. It's not an intellectual understanding or belief. It's a believing that takes action, that says, I know this is true. I know it in the bottom of my heart that it's true, and therefore it's going to come to pass. It's not something that I can work up. It's not something I can choose to, okay, I'm going to believe for this. Okay? It's not in me to do that. God wants us to believe what he says, what he wants to give us, the blessings that he wants to bestow on us, the things that he speaks to us. Okay? He wants us to ask for those things in prayer, the blessings that he wants to bestow on us, the gifts, whatever. That believing and asking in prayer is in response to him, what he shows us. And if you know that there's something he wants you to have, you can freely ask him for that, truly believing in your heart that he's going to give it to you because you know it's his will. Okay? So that's what that's all about. Okay, next. Yeah, Romans 8:28, we're all familiar with this. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances, God is going to bring good out of it. in some way, shape, or form. We don't always understand, we don't always know what that is. But no matter what, no matter how much evil might come upon you in one form or another, God has a way of turning these things around and bringing good out of it. We might have to suffer through some things. God never promised that we would never suffer in our lives. He suffered for us. Why shouldn't we expect to have to suffer for Him on occasion? But He means it for good. If we have to go through some suffering, He can bring good out of it, make us stronger, give us patience, determination, teach us things, make us stronger in the faith. Everything has a purpose. Everything that He allows has a purpose. But He will bring good out of everything, every situation in our lives. And we can count on it. All things work together for good. All things. And then Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. How many of you are anxious for something this morning? Maybe you have a problem, an issue, a concern, whether it's health-wise, emotional, relational, whatever. We all get anxious from time to time. He was saying, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, the prayer that's referred to there is just fellowship with God. It's so important to be in fellowship with Him. And it says, and supplication. Supplication is making your requests to Him. So there's two parts to it. One is just spending time with Him. And the other thing is then asking. But it's so important to establish that communication with Him. Spending time in fellowship. Just being in His presence. And then bringing your requests to Him. But with thanksgiving. Why? Why with thanksgiving? It's so important to show gratitude. Even before He acts. Come before Him in His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. And then you can ask Him for things with that gratitude. And His presence will give you peace. Let your request be made to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you have His peace, nothing can move you, because you know that He's got it when you've got that peace. And that's how it guards your minds and your hearts. When you feel the peace of God in your heart, you know He's got this for you. He's going to take care of it. He's going to bless you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious when you feel that peace. Now, if you don't feel that peace, then there's something amiss. You need to find out what that is. So you spend time in His presence and ask Him, Lord, why don't I have Your peace? What's wrong? Did I make a wrong decision? Do I need to change something? But there's that promise, though. When you're in His presence, establishing that fellowship with Him and making your requests, He will give you peace. The world can't understand that. But we do. Because our circumstances may say, it's impossible. But the peace of God that He gives you says, no, God's got this. He's going to work it out. Okay, James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Every day I lack wisdom about something. Ask God. He wants to give you wisdom about whatever situation you're facing, a decision you might have to make, anything, about anything. He longs to give you the wisdom. But you need to ask him without doubting, because he wants to give it to you. He gives to all liberally and without reproach. He doesn't say, well, why should I give it to you? You don't deserve it. Or, you know, it could be other things that we can imagine in our minds as to why we don't receive it. But a lot of times it's just because we doubt. We ask for it, but we don't believe we're going to receive it. And that's partly because we don't fully understand his word and his promise. If we know in our hearts that he wants us to have wisdom about a given situation, we can simply ask for it and believe that we're going to receive it. Now, it may not come instantly. It may not come today. It may not come next week. But it will come when you need it. Because his timing, again, is perfect. If you lack wisdom about anything, ask. He wants you to have it. But ask without doubting. And doubting simply means that you're going back and forth from one thing to another. Well, yeah, he's going to give it to me. But then again, maybe he's not. Yeah, he will. Well, maybe not. You know, our emotions, we give too much leeway to our emotions and let them sway us. The Word of God is not emotional. It's not based on emotion. It's based on truth. His Word is truth. Our emotions tend to get in the way a lot of times. Don't make decisions based on emotion. Make decisions based on the Word of God and the peace that's in your heart. Emotions will mislead us. Okay, next. Two more. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of us confess our sins and still feel guilty? Right? Don't we, a lot of times? Don't we? God, forgive me. I made a mistake. I did this. I had a lapse in judgment or whatever. We all go through it. None of us are perfect. We all sin. But too many times we beat ourselves. Maybe we're not sure that God has forgiven us. But we don't feel like we're forgiven. Here again, that's emotional. Doesn't matter whether we feel it or not. God's word says, you confess your sin, he forgives you. It's done. It's over with. Why do we still hang on to these things and these feelings of guilt or shame or whatever? God cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Washes you clean like you've never sinned before. That's his promise. But all too many times we listen to the whispers of the enemy. Oh, you did this. Yeah, God may forgive you, but you're still a bad person because you did this. It's a lie. It's a lie. When God says, you know, he's the only one that I know that can choose to forget something, and he totally forgets it. We can say, yeah, I forgot this or I forgot that or whatever, but a lot of times it comes back. It comes to mind. But God says, when he cleanses us from sins, I will remember them no more. And if he doesn't remember them, why should we? Why should we? If he has cleansed us from them and washed us clean, why should we continue to remember the sins that we've done when he has forgotten them? And they're totally wiped from his memory. I wish I could do that, but he can. I may remember the things I've done, but I don't have to carry them as a burden. I don't have to feel guilty or shameful or anything because of anything that I've done in the past. Because as long as I've confessed them, done with, washed clean, and God remembers them no more. What a wonderful promise that is. We need to take that to heart. We really do. Cleansed us from all unrighteousness. No reason to feel guilt or shame anymore over anything. Anything. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this speaks to the promises of God. All the promises that he has made. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So scripture itself is affirming the truth that he is a promise keeper. All of his promises are yes. He never takes back a promise. Never leaves one unfulfilled. Everyone is yes. It may not be in the timing that we like, but it's still yes. A promise that will be fulfilled. And amen simply means so be it. All his promises are yes, and yes, so be it. All for the glory of God. He is known as a promise keeper. I haven't kept all of my promises that I've ever made, and I'm sure none of you have either. We've all fallen short of that, but God has never fallen short of keeping a promise that he has made. And I would challenge you to look in Scripture to find other promises than what I've listed here. There are many, many promises. And every single one of them is for us and will be fulfilled. He is coming back for us. That's another promise. He has given us eternal life. That's another promise. New bodies that will live on through eternity. Another promise. There are so many. We can look forward to all of these. And maybe he's given you a promise personally that's not in Scripture. I know Joan has spoken of a promise that, I mean, without details, is, you know, that he made to her. God made a promise to me too. And that was over 40 years ago that I'm waiting for. But I know it's coming. I don't know when. And every time I think about that, I think of Abraham. He had a promise made by God that he was going to have a son born to him. He was childless at that time. He had to wait, I think it was about 40 years, all told, to the point where neither he nor Sarah, his wife, were capable of bearing children any longer. God waited, even though he gave him the promise, years and years and years before, waited until the time when, in human understanding, it was impossible. But God waited until that time to fulfill the promise to show just how powerful and mighty and glorious he is, that he could give them a child even though they were past the time of childbearing, both of them. Amazing. You can think about that in your own life too. Sometimes God will wait until, in a worldly sense, it's impossible. But he wants to show you how good he is and how mighty and powerful and glorious by waiting until, for all practical purposes, it can't happen. But then God steps in and fulfills that promise, showing you how great he is. So we have many, many promises to look to. These are just a handful. as I said, I would challenge you to look. Look in Scripture, to find others. See what God has to say to you and the promises that He has made. But there is one caution in this. There is one caution. We need to be careful that we look to the God of the promises as opposed to looking to the promises that are made by God. That may sound a little confusing, but I'm going to talk about that next week and explain that. So if you want to understand that, you got to come to the picnic, okay? It's important to look to the God of the promises and not just to the promises, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a promise keeper. Thank you that we can bank on it, that every single promise that you have made to us, whether to us personally or all of those over 1,000 that are in Scripture, every single one, Lord, is true. And if it hasn't already been fulfilled, it will be. You have made that abundantly clear, Lord, that every promise that you have made is yes and amen. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. We look forward to the fulfillment of them all. In Jesus' name, thank you.